It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. I hope you're going to enjoy this morning's show as we roll through October. I'm going to start off with which, of course, is one of the great months to be outdoors. Whether you like to look at leaves, or you like to ride bikes, or you like to hunt, or you like to fish, fall is a fabulous time in most parts of the United States, and particularly here in the Midwest. And particularly if you're a Cub fan, it's a great time. And I actually will be going to the game this evening in Chicago, so I'm excited about that. I want to start off with the discussion about Quebec has added a dove season. That's Quebec, the province of Quebec, Canada, has added a dove season to their list of game birds that may be hunted. And that continues the wide expansion of recreational opportunity for the hunting of doves across North America. Doves a few years ago were closed in a number of states that are now open for them, Wisconsin being an example, and they've always been closed in Canada. Quebec is the first province, I believe, to permit the shooting of mourning doves, and part of the reason is that the Canadians are so concerned about the number of individuals who are declining to hunt. The fall in the number of individuals participating in hunting in Canada has been nearly a 50% decline from 25 years ago. There are now more non-resident hunters in the province of Saskatchewan, and there are resident hunters, almost all those residents being American hunters who come up to duck and goose hunt or sharptail or Hungarian partridge hunting. So the Canadian government, along with conservation and sporting interests in Canada, are trying to figure out ways to introduce individuals to the sport of hunting in Canada to continue what has been one of the country's really important traditions. Only in Canada, it seems that there are far fewer of the upcoming generations that have an interest in hunting. So to do that, they have opened up the dove season in Quebec in an attempt to have particularly young individuals be able to go shooting at a time of the year when the weather is warm, and it's a social event. So we'll see what happens. It's not likely that they will materially impact the mourning dove population by shooting doves in the province of Quebec. And that's part of the reason they're doing it. They think there are ample opportunities for birds, but it really is about trying to get individuals to go hunting. And that's not the subject of this morning's show, which we often talk about, is where are the next generation or generations, plural, of hunters going to come from? Because I think the average age of a duck hunter in America is 58 years old. The average age of all range of hunters in America and anglers is much higher than we'd like it to be. So the question of where are the future generations of hunters going to come from, who, of course, provide the majority of the revenue or a large part of the revenue to every single state Department of Natural Resources, and also provide the revenue to the federal government, the Fish and Wildlife Service, through their user fees and the excise taxes on Pittman-Robertson funds, etc. Where are we all going to come from? I don't have the answer this morning. We talk about it frequently, but that's not the subject of this morning's show. The first lead-in item is Quebec will have a dove season, which increases the opportunity for individuals in Canada to participate in hunting. The thing I really want to talk about today, we have 9 days before the election. And as we've commented on for just months and months now, there are there's no discussion about the outdoors amongst the leading presidential candidates. No discussion at all. And it is shocking to think that's the case, given that there are some 60 million individuals in America who, when you combine it, hunt and fish and shoot clay targets and have sporting firearms. And most of those 60 million individuals vote. So a couple of statistics that I thought would be interesting to put this in the context of why it is beyond belief that there has been no discussion about natural resources or conservation by either candidate. And that during the three debates, I don't recall there being a single question related to what I would call the core of the future of natural resource management in America. Even in 2012, we had a lot of commentary on the Keystone Pipeline and discussion about that in the debates. It's as though those of us who enjoy the outdoors or think it's important to have natural resources in America, it's as though we don't exist. And I just find that incredible, given the long history of the involvement of, up until relatively recently, of presidents in the future of conservation in America. And of course, it all started with the greatest conservationist of them all, Theodore Roosevelt, who began the National Park System and who was a great advocate of not only protecting areas, but preserving wildlife and enhancing wildlife. And of course, he was a great, great hunter and angler as well. And they tend to go hand in hand. But here's a few statistics for you. $61 billion, actually $62 billion. The fishing industry's contribution to the country's gross domestic product is $62 billion. That is more than the contribution from the manufacturing of paper products. Here's another statistic for you. There were 41 million Americans over the age of six who fished. That's more than the number of people who went to Disney's Magic Kingdom, Epcot, and Animal Kingdom in combined. Yet you hear all the stuff about Disney World. Anglers paid about $8 billion in federal taxes, which would pay the salaries of almost 500,000 active duty privates in the U.S. Army. $12 billion is what anglers spent on boats and other equipment. The impact of fishing is enormous. The impact of hunting is not as large as fishing, but it's still almost $40 billion. So together, the impact of hunting and fishing is worth almost $100 billion a year to the U.S. economy. To put that in perspective, the spending by hunters, they pay almost $5.5 billion in state and local taxes, a sum that could pay the wages of some 115,000 firefighters, or 37% of all professional firefighters in the country. Hunters spend more on ammunition and archery equipment than the entire bicycle sales in the United States of America. Sportsmen with their money provide over $6 billion through the owning and leasing of private lands for hunting. 15.5 million hunters could fill every NASCAR track, every NFL stadium, every NBA arena, every ballpark, and that includes wonderful Wrigley, an NHL rink in the country, more than two times. You're getting the picture. It's a big, big industry, $100 billion worth of industry, and the presidential candidates cannot find the time to talk about it. It's absolutely incredible. There are more than 32,000 retail service boating businesses in the United States employing over 200,000 people. That's more than eight times the 4,000 Walmart stores in the country, and it's twice the number of people that are employed by Intel. Hunting and fishing is an enormous industry in America. It is a driving industry in rural America. In rural America, you have agriculture and you have hunting and fishing. And that's one of the reasons why it is just so inconceivable. We're talking about tens of thousands of jobs. We're talking about $100 billion in the U.S. economy, just taken for granted by, at this point, both presidential candidates, even though Donald Trump has said that his sons hunt and he's a big supporter of hunting and he's a big supporter of the right to shoot and own firearms. That's not the same as a discussion about the future of wildlife management in America and the future of our national parks, which are so far behind on maintenance and so overused. There's been no in-depth discussion about a $100 billion industry. And I guess I find that personally very shameful. And I'm sure many of you listening who love the outdoors, love to hunt and fish and camp and boat and hike and bike, also are probably a little bit bewildered that we are so taken for granted that there cannot be a discussion about what the future of America looks like for those of us who have an interest in the outdoors. But that's the way it's been, and it's been that way right from the beginning. On the congressional and local levels, you certainly have big discussions about the future of, in northeastern Illinois, open space and bike paths, and in southern Illinois, the future of particularly about deer hunting and the deer population's decline. All over America, you've got issues with animal and human conflicts, wolves and elk, and all these discussions. But on the national level, none. So we'll see what happens in 8 days. The general sense would be that there certainly, if Donald Trump's words are accurate, the interest of his sons in hunting, which is a real one, and I personally know that, is that we would have some interest in hunting and fishing and certainly into the administration. We don't know where Hillary Clinton stands on it. The track record, there isn't a track record on her behalf of what the country would look like for hunting and fishing or outdoor recreation. But either one is going to face enormous challenges in the funding of our national parks, and are both going to face big-time challenges in our rural communities as we continue with what is now the beginning, potentially, of a downturn in the agricultural cycle, which always means that hunting and fishing and recreational usage in rural America is much more important to the economy, as agriculture does not drive the engine the way it did over the past few years. So there's going to need to be a discussion. There's going to need to be a support for the future of hunting and fishing and growing a $100 billion a year industry. We'll learn more soon, that's for sure. And I'll be back in just a moment on the Great Outdoors Show, and I'm going to talk about the Safe Roads Amendment. I'm also going to talk a little bit about public lands. And then if we have a little time, we'll talk about smallmouth in the Chicago harbors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. First, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Winter is here and it's always tough on the road. But when the going gets tough, the tough get going. And nothing is tougher than the 2016 Chevy Silverado. Silverado is the longest lasting, most dependable pickup on the road. With all steel construction, Silverado is built to tame Chicago's winter weather. And Silverado's towing package offers 11,400 pounds of towing capacity. Perfect for hauling your snowmobiles. I love pulling my neighbors out of their snowdrifts. And right now, you can get $7,250 total savings on a 2016 Chevy Silverado All-Star. $7,250. That really warms my heart. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and get all the details. Or head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer today and pick up a pickup that works as hard as you do, on the road or off. Chevy Silverado is one tough customer.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and I hope you're enjoying the show. I'm going to switch gears from where I was, talking about the lack of interest in conservation at a national level at the height of a presidential election, which is just unprecedented in modern time, actually probably in American history since President Roosevelt, to talk about the Safe Roads Amendment, which Brent Manning discussed very eloquently a couple weeks ago. There's been a lot of email traffic and telephone conversations about what was said. And basically the situation is this. There's a proposal on the ballot next week in Illinois that will ask that there be a constitutional amendment to create a lockbox, quote-unquote, lockbox, so that the funds for the Illinois Department of Transportation cannot be used for other purposes. On the surface, that sounds fine, but the result is it'll strip about $30 million a year from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, which has dedicated license plates and also receives a percentage of the fees on the sale of just ordinary license plates. So a fairly significant portion of the funding for the Illinois Department of Natural Resources comes through the Transportation Department. And for those of us who own specialty plates, whether it be, you know, conservation plates or maybe for the University of Illinois or whatever your specialty plates are, those would all go away and the money would simply go into the road fund. Brent Manning talked about the difficulty that will create for the Department of Conservation Natural Resources. It doesn't have a $30 million backlog, if you will, of not backlog, doesn't have access to $30 million to replace the funding that'll be lost. It'll have a devastating impact on our parks and other areas. So on the surface, it seems great. Sure, let's have more money for our roads. All of us in Illinois know that our roads are in lousy condition. But when you dig below the surface, the idea of a constitutional amendment, as was spoken about 2 weeks ago, is really a pretty poor way for the legislature to manage affairs. Much as we have a constitutional amendment on our pensions, we're going to have a constitutional amendment on where our highway taxes go and our license fees. And in this case, it not only strips the Department of Natural Resources of $30 million a year to do the things that they're supposed to be doing, but it also, frankly, enables the legislature to hide behind a constitutional amendment as opposed to the ability and the need for them to take tough votes and make tough decisions on an annual basis. So the conservation community across Illinois is in lockstep opposition to the Safe Roads Amendment, and with good reason. It will be punitive to the Department of Natural Resources and have a significant impact on the things that we like to do in the outdoors in Illinois. I'm going to move quickly to the discussion about smallmouth bass in the Chicago area. You may have read recently about the outstanding smallmouth bass fishing along the lakefront and the harbors of Chicago. It's for real. Smallmouth bass are here. Bassmasters, 15, 16 years ago, had the Bassmasters Classic in Chicago. They caught fish. The fishing wasn't great, and the fish weren't that big. They held it now. They catch a lot more fish. The fishing is better, and the fish are a lot bigger. So smallmouth, as long as we end up with a lake system such as we have, full of zebra mussels and other invasives that have clarified the water quality, smallmouth are here to stay, and they're definitely they're growing rapidly across the region, which is a great thing, as salmon fishing in particular is declining because the forest base is changing. So as forage base changes, salmon are not as productive, not as able to live. Smallmouth fill the gap. From the point of view of a fisherman, smallmouth fishing is year round. They stay in the rocks and jetties of the along the lakefront. And from a year-round perspective, certainly not in January and February, but for the rest of the year, having smallmouth in the Chicago area is terrific for the ability for recreational anglers. So the ecosystems always change, particularly when you add invasive species, as we have throughout the Great Lakes. It's good for smallmouth. It's bad for salmon. And I'll be back. I guess, actually, I'm going to be out of time, unfortunately. But next week, I'm going to talk about drones. And, of course, it's 2 days before the election. I'll have a couple of maybe observations to make. But I hope you've enjoyed the show this morning. Sorry we ran out of time and I couldn't quite talk about what I wanted to with drones and public lands. But I'll do that next week. Thank you for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. Have a great week in the great outdoors.